All right, gather round, both the hockey elite and the casual fan. Stanley Cup's done. The NHL offseason is here. And I'd like to take a crack at this. Walk with me as I present the Steve Weiser plan.
Tell me why.
Tell me why they don't make these moves. Instead of saying no and no, how about yes and yes? Multiple impact players. We're going to go through this. Everybody said this is a pivotal offseason for Steve Yzerman. Yes, John?
Yes.
I'm going to treat it as such and present a blueprint.
Okay.
First things first, we're buying out Justin Hull. I don't need to see him. Doesn't need to be here. He sat in the press box 2 years ago. He never should have been on the ice a year ago. We need a little more space to pull off what I want to pull off. So I'm buying out Justin Hull.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Number one.
Vlad Tarasenko. It's highly publicized. It didn't work out last season.
For either side.
Either side. I think he wants to move on. I think the Wings would like to move on. I'm going to do what Steve did last year with Robbie Fabry. I'm going to dump him. Trade him. Okay. I'm going to attach a fourth round pick to him just like they did with Fabry, and I'm going to ship him out.
So you cleared a couple roster spots. A
couple guys need to move. And if I'm a team like the Blackhawks, I would take Vlad. I have cap space. If he's good, I can flip him at the deadline. I get paid a pick now and may get a paid a pick later. I think you can move Vlad Tarasenko. So again, freeing up the space, cleaning up some of the mistakes on this roster, and setting themselves up. Patrick Kane is going to come back. He wants to be back. Yzerman has indicated there is a mutual interest in bringing Patty Kane back. So he will come back on a one-year deal.
Okay.
So here's where we get interesting. In free agency, the big guy I'm targeting is Aaron Ekblad. He wears a letter. He's a leader on a two-time Stanley Cup champion team. He can anchor a power play, but more importantly, he's physical. More importantly, he gives you some beef in your top four on defense. He's a right-handed shot. You could put him in that top pair, that top four. Reciter anchors one, and Ekblad anchors the other. That's my big splash. Windsor native wears the number five because he loves Nick Lidstrom. So there's a reason for him to want to come here. We have the cap space to give him. I'd pay him basically what Sider's getting.
Okay.
$8.5 million a season. It's a pay raise for him on a six-year deal.
Okay.
That's the Aaron Ekblad splash. That's impact player number one.
I like the term. I like the money.
Well, that's my concern here is everybody's going to have more money to spend. Is Yzerman going to come to terms with the term he's going to need to hand out? But Ekblad is one target. The other is a trade. And I actually think this is where Yzerman needs to get creative. Because everybody's going to be bidding on the Marners and the Bennetts, and it's going to cost an arm and a leg, and I'm not sure we're getting them anyway. So who can you get? Hockey insiders insist that Robertson is available from Dallas. 40-goal scorer two times over. Selke votes as a good defensive forward. Why is Dallas trying to trade him? I don't know. They want to free up some space. They want to shake things up a little bit. And the deal I would pitch is straight out of Max Boltman from The Athletic with a little tweak. I'm giving them 13th overall in this year's draft, a first-round pick. I'm giving them a second-round pick in 2026. And I'm attaching a young player, Michael Brantzæg-Nygaard, the player they drafted a year ago, who's already in the AHL and is close to being in the NHL. You know, a year or two away, he becomes a young cheap piece that Dallas controls for the future. So effectively, two firsts and a second to bring Robertson in. Robertson grew up in Northville, Michigan. There's always got to be a Michigan connection, John. But I have bolstered my top six forwards. I've bolstered my top two pairs on defense. I can't fix the goalie situation because I'm not a miracle worker. Don't love having Mrazek on this team, but I think I have made the Red Wings a playoff squad with a couple key pieces.
Well, I really like the Robertson move because he's so young.
25 years old.
25. And he's a guy that could be here for a while. He's a guy that as you start looking at Lucas Raymond, Mo Sider, even, you know, Dylan Larkin, like he's still young enough for these guys to be able to grow together, win together, and improve together. And this is a great step to make them a playoff team this coming season.
Robertson was scoring in the West Finals. I don't have any doubt about him as a playoff performer. Get in, he fits the timeline, and Ekblad fits the biggest need of this hockey team, being harder to play against.
So the question I would have is, and I get, all right, you're giving up some to get Robertson. Mm-hmm. I'll ask the question from the Dallas perspective. Why? Why would they trade him?
I don't know why they're shopping him, but I'm telling you, the deal I'm pulling is straight out of a hockey insider who did a mock trade just the other day. And yeah. I should add this in. I'm also taking Matt Dumba's contract back.
Right.
I'm freeing up $11 million in cap space and giving them effectively two firsts and a second. It allows them to retain some of their vets, Duchesne and Ben, and still have the cap space to revamp and reload. And I got a young player, a prospect that could turn into one of those gritty forwards. Yeah. I don't love giving up Branson Nygaard, but that's you got to give to get. I'm giving Dallas a chance to reset and retool, keep their core together. And as the Red Wings, I'm benefiting by getting a top forward to anchor that top line.
So the thought is they can't pay everybody.
Yes.
And right. Eventually they're going to hit an end game, maybe like the Maple Leafs have with the core four. You know, and that's why Marner's
this is their out before it hits them.
Yes, and so this is a retool on a fly, a team that's lost three straight West Finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and there are also eerie similar traits to them moving him like the Flames move Tkachuk. Now, is Robertson Tkachuk? Who knows? The Panthers didn't care what they gave up for Tkachuk because they wanted the player. Mm-hmm. And that's what Steve Yzerman would have to do in a trade like this. He can't care about what he gave up. The Panthers gave up a 100-point player plus a massive haul of other things just to get Tkachuk. How'd that work out? I mean, we want to sit here and maybe mock the Yzerman plan or Jim's plan is a thing, but
I'm not mocking it. I'm just asking questions.
I know, that's fair. No, I'm having a little fun with it, but also through trade is usually the way you do this.
Yes.
Not through free agency. The idiot GMs will go give Sam Bennett a boatload.
$13 million
because
he won
a Conn Smythe.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the, I can never think of his name. It shows you just the Eagles defensive end that went to Arizona. Timing's everything.
Josh Sweat.
Yeah, he's not an elite pass rusher. He got paid like one.
Right.
Yeah.
So which would be more surprising? Because we haven't seen Steve Yzerman go out and sign big free agents. And I'm not sitting there saying, you know, Ekblad would be a monster free agent, but it'd probably be the biggest.
Yeah, it'd be sizable.
Would that not be the biggest free agent signing that he's had?
Yes.
Which would be more surprising, the pulling off the signing of Ekblad or the trade for Robertson?
The trade would be more surprising because it's going to involve gutting some of your young players and picks. It's going to involve giving him an extension after this season, which will be a big number. But again, cap's going up. You're trying to win. He's 25 years old. If he is at all being dangled in the insider stress, yes, he is available. The Red Wings are the team that can offer you salary relief and young pieces to help extend their window while we actually get to start our window in Detroit. What a concept that would be.
Yeah, and obviously you put those two together. If he does follow the Wiser plan, you put those two together, I think it would blow your mind.
Tell me why.
Tell me why not do this. 248-539-9797. The Hockey Elite, does this pass your purity standard? Do I know puck? And if you're someone who just desperately wants the Red Wings to be good, did I sell you a plan that actually puts Detroit on the clock, in the window to start contending and competing? 248-539-9797. Aaron Ekblad in free agency. Jason Robertson via trade. I'm dumping Hull. I'm dumping Tarasenko. And Patrick Kane is back in the fold. 248-539-9797. We'll get your feedback. It's 97.1. All right, been telling you about KG Law, and that's who you need to call if you find yourself in a car accident. You need a firm that cares about you, and that's what KG Law is all about. Lawrence Cagey, his team, went out and saw him last week. They are not your stuffy lawyer types. They're down to earth. They're approachable. And most importantly, they're going to win for you. 98% success rate. Phone number is 877-KG-CARES. Online at kgcares.com. That's KGKAJY. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, call KG Law now. That's kgcares.com. kgcares.com. Sing it, John.
No, this is your horse. You ride it.
Tell me why.
So I've presented the wiser plan. Why not this? Tell me why. Hockey offseason's here. Stanley Cup's done. My plan.
Greg's enjoying this too much.
Yeah, it's been nothing but a heartache. Let's improve it, all right? So instead of saying no and no, let's say yes and yes. Aaron Ekblad in free agency, Jason Robertson via trade. Do I know puck? Have I satisfied the hockey elite? I'm giving you a proven veteran winner, physical brand of hockey in Aaron Ekblad from Windsor, grew up a Red Wing fan. I'm giving you Jason Robertson, grew up in Northville, 40-goal scorer, Selke votes. I'm giving you a punch on the top six. I'm giving you a punch in the top four defense. I'm moving out Hull. I'm moving out Tarasenko. 248-539-9797. Instead of no and no, how about yes and yes? Joe and Macomb, you're on 97.1.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for the call.
What's up?
You called us. What's going on?
Thanks for taking my call, rather. But my question to you, I think your plan's great. I think it makes too much sense. My question to you guys is, say Jim Nill picks up the phone and says Robertson's not on the block, and that's bad information. If you're Steve Yzerman, what is your plan if we can't get Robertson? Do we make a move for another top six forward? There's some names on the market. They're saying Mika Zibanejad might be available in New York. There's tweets yesterday from Hockey Insider saying Troy Terry might want out of Anaheim. Insiders are saying that Martin Natchez is not a great fit in Dallas or in
Colorado.
Denver. Yep, in Colorado, in Denver. So do we try and pick up the phone and make a different move to get a top six forward this year, or do we sit on the money and wait for next year for a stacked free agent class?
You know how much I love kicking the can to next year. But the reality is those guys aren't Robertson. Like, Zibanejad's going the wrong way. Troy Terry is not Jason Robertson. Robertson is so appealing because he's 25, because he'd immediately slot in as your starting left wing on a line with Raymond and Larkin, and you'd have a legitimate stud top line. And if I'm adding Ekblad on defense, either he pairs with Edvinson, or I put Edvinson back up with Sider, and I have those two, and now Ekblad can help Albert Johansson move to his natural side,
right,
and I have a real top four. And I know people are going, what about Pelika? Does this block Pelika? First of all, I don't think Pelika is going to be on the team next year.
Next year, no. He's still another year away.
And when he does eventually get here, they don't want to over-deploy him. They'll probably shelter him. The third pair is the ideal spot for him to start. And if he's a stud, you have the best right side in all of hockey with Sider, Ekblad, and Axel Sandin Pelika in 2 to 3 seasons. Let's get to Kevin and Macomb. Kevin, good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
What's up?
Yeah. So I want to say yes and then no. Yes to Ekblad because I think – so my approach is a very – it might not be the sexy take, but I just think we really need to bolster our defense right now. That is the weakest point of our team. We have really weak goaltending, and the best way to bolster – improve your goaltending is to have a great defense. So I want to go after Ekblad. And then I'd also like to go after that Keandre Miller with the New York Rangers. He's only 25 years old. The reason why I don't want to go after Robertson, and I mean, I could be wrong, but I just feel that we have too many of those same kind of players here. He's a talented player, but when the physicality picks up and he doesn't have the puck, I feel like he's not one of those aggressive guys. Like the Florida Panthers, I mean, it's a perfect, they have it down to a science. They found the guys who are talented, but they're also
they're heavy. They're heavy is what they are. Yeah. I mean, they're just strong. They take the puck away.
Yeah, the other thing too, Jim, is just what would we be giving up to get Robertson? I'm a big advocate. I don't mean to interrupt you, but
yeah, you're good.
I'm a big advocate. It's unpopular, but I really want to trade Larkin. I really do think that he's had his opportunity here. He got Raymond, and I just feel it'd be bold.
Oh, it'd be incredibly bold. I don't think anybody should be untouchable on a team that can't make the playoffs. I think you're probably going backwards if you're trading your number one center and not getting a center back in return
here. Yeah, because what are you going to do at center then?
Yeah, so I'm adding but subtracting. And look, they need to make a bold move. To say that they already have guys like Jason Robertson, They don't.
But you just said
he's a 100-point player. They don't have anybody that's like Jason Robertson.
You just said Larkin's their number one center, but he's not a number one center.
If he was a number one center at the Four Nations, my point is put some good players around him, and you can mitigate some of the animosity that surrounds whether he's good enough.
He's the guy that if somebody likes out there, you include in the deal to get who you want. That's exactly what the Panthers did with Tkachuk. Mm-hmm. Huberdeau peaked. He had a 115-point season.
Softer player.
Now he's a 62-point player. I mean, by the way, they also got Sam Bennett from the Flames. It's like, what? Is the Flames the farm system for the Panthers?
No kidding.
I mean, think about the radio up there they're doing today.
He asked, what am I giving up to get Robertson? Max Boltman had a trade involving this year's first, next year's second, and Nate Danielson. I swapped Danielson for Brantzig, Nygaard, winger versus center, but that's the same principle. One young prospect who was taken in the first, plus a first and a second. You take back the Dumba contract. You save them $11 million. You give them young capital to reload, and you get a quality player in Robertson. One more phone call. Chris in St. Clair Shores. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with the last caller. Ekblad is for sure somebody that I've been looking at for a while. Right-handed defenseman, had pedigree. Like, he would, you know, be great for this team. The problem is, up the middle, you got nothing. You got Marco Kast, who's been promising, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him. But Dylan Larkin, nice player. He's not a number one center. He's peaked. He's a good player, and he could add to a championship team, but this team is nowhere near contending, even if you added Ekblad, even if you added Jason Robertson. But the good thing about Jason Robertson is he is 25. You haven't seen the best of him. He can be better. He can be a franchise player. So if I'm going to make a move for somebody like Jason Robertson, I'm continuing to build, and I'm cutting bait on Dylan Larkin, and I'm going to try to centerpiece a deal around Dylan Larkin and Jason Robertson, and I don't think you need to add much to Dylan Larkin because he is a center, still a premium position. He slots in at the number two center, one of the best number two centers in the league, but he's just not a number one. So I continue to build, keep my picks, keep those prospects, because the one thing that Eisenman has done well is draft.
Yes.
So, you know, I'd like to keep those guys, continue to build, and if you have a top line next year of Jason Robertson, Marco Kasper, or maybe you bring in a free agent.
And Lucas Raymond. I get what you're saying. I don't know if Larkin's the piece for Dallas because it doesn't really solve their cap situation, but it's something to consider. Offseason's officially here in the NHL. Let's get to Heather with the news.
So Detroit police are looking for a man accused of running down a dollar store employee with a U-Haul truck.
Oh.
Yeah, the incident actually happened back on April 5th. And according to authorities, the man stole something from the store and then an employee confronted him about it, right? Well, the suspect got into this U-Haul, hit the employee with the vehicle, and then tried to run him over.
Oh. Hmm.
The police say the suspect got away. The employee had to be taken to the hospital for treatment for various injuries. But now there is a $1,000 reward being offered for any tips that lead to an arrest in this case.
Oh, well, did they? I mean, obviously, if you got a U-Haul trailer, you had to rent it. They should know his name, right?
I would imagine so. I believe it was caught on camera as well. So you've got some footage of this man. Mm. They just got to find him. You guys get ready to sweat. We talked about it this morning. You got some extra shirts packed in your bag today.
Yep.
Temperatures this weekend will climb to possible record highs close to 100 degrees. But with humidity, it could feel even hotter. So ready. An intense weather system is projected to push high temperatures in Detroit to around 86 on Friday and then higher for several days thereafter. So expect temps in the 90s, possibly pushing that 100 mark Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, possibly into Tuesday as well. Oh. So it's hanging around.
Are there anticipated with it? I know you're not a meteorologist, but with the high temps and the high humidity, a lot of times that means thunderstorms.
You know what? I thought we're supposed to get some today.
Yeah.
But this article actually doesn't talk about storms at all. It just talks about the really high heat and that humidity. So they say the high will be more than 20 degrees warmer than average for this time of year. So it's typically around 71, 72 degrees. So just be ready. They do say that with high humidity, if we get like a 98 degree day plus 70 percentage humidity, it will feel more like a heat index of 134.
134? 134,
yes, which is extreme danger zone. So yeah, they say, obviously, if it does get that hot, there will be a watch or warning issued for extreme heat. And if we're under that warning, experts are advising everyone to avoid outdoor activity, especially at the warmest time of the day. If you do have to go outside and do outdoor activities, make sure you have plenty of water to break the heat. Obviously, find some shade. They say about 120 people in the U.S. die each year from extreme heat, including about 5 in Michigan. So just be prepared. I'm warning you. It's coming right now.
I'm at risk of melting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hot.
Yeah, that's extreme.
It's very hot. Yes. It's very hot. Finally, there's a new viral TikTok decor trend that's taking over bathrooms everywhere, but there's experts that are warning against it. Have you ever heard of toilet flowers?
Toilet flowers?
No.
No. I'm not even going to risk a guess.
I've never heard of it. I've never seen it, but apparently people are doing it. It's basically you remove the ceramic lid on your toilet tank and you just fill it with fresh flowers. Instead of using the traditional old school vase, why not do something creative?
Okay.
But
well, the water gets refreshed every time you flush.
But that's where the problem comes in, is that having these stems, the residue, maybe you're adding some of like the flower food, could be really bad. Excuse me, for your toilet. So experts are saying, hey, there's some plumbing risks. It could lead to expenses, maintenance difficulties, hygiene issues as well. So
awful.
You know, and it doesn't really look that good.
No.
I mean, how many flowers, you know how many flowers you'd have to have to fill that space too?
Yeah, it's a lot of flowers. So it's expensive as well.
Huh.
Yeah, no thanks. Heather with the news. Coming up next, you may have noticed this on your commute today. It's 97.1.
At First Merchants Bank, they believe that the real value comes from building strong communities and even stronger relationships. With their new branch opening in the Fitzgerald neighborhood of Detroit, First Merchants Bank is excited to offer a banking experience that's welcoming, attentive, and dependable. Their easy-to-use, secure, and highly rated app makes everyday banking a breeze, allowing you to manage your accounts on the go, and their local attentive bankers are your partners in success. Talk about building those relationships. They're going to take the time to get to know you, give sound advice, and provide solutions that work for you. In fact, it's exactly what they've done for me and my family over the years. So that's why they're my personal financial partner. With a passion for fostering community development, their team is committed to helping you and your neighborhood prosper. Experience the difference of banking with an award-winning bank that truly cares about your financial journey. All you have to do is visit firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald to learn more about how they can help support you as well. That's firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC.
Last night's Tiger Clubhouse, a bumping shindig. We'll get to that at 8:02. The best story on the best team. On your commute today, you may have noticed something different, especially if you were working east and west from, what, about Novi to Milford?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the start of
the metering.
Ramp metering.
Mm-hmm. So, for people, what is ramp metering?
It's a stoplight on ramps.
Exactly.
That's basically what it is. And it's, I believe today they're all, at least started blinking yellow.
That's what the one article we had yesterday said. They were just going to introduce them. And this article that I just read, it sounds like there might only be one that was actually turned on today.
Oh, okay.
There's going to be multiple ramp meters. But I saw that it's there's only one, according to this article.
So if you're going east or west, it's on the on-ramps, basically from just about 12 Oaks Mall, that, you know, Novi area, all the way out to Milford. And it is intended to control the flow of traffic on the on-ramps and speed up the flow of traffic on, or at least manage traffic on the highway.
Yeah. Help prevent accidents, things like that.
Yeah. So it, in theory, and I've seen this in a number of different places. I know that they have it out west in California. A lot of those highways have the stoplights on the on-ramp. I've seen it in some of the other big cities. So it's not a new concept, at least to me. If you haven't been in any of those, it will seem new. It may seem awkward at first, but
okay, it
I don't
sounds
think
like
it's a big deal.
So this article says that when the light turns red, you stop at the red light, but then you wait for it to turn green, and then it says it's only one car per green light.
Right. So it'll turn green, and then I don't know if there's
a
sensor
lot of
when. Well, I think, okay, so it may speed up the flow of traffic on the highway, but I think there is a risk of it backing up traffic on the on-ramp.
It sounds like it. Especially, let's say there's traffic and then a major accident. And there's not, traffic isn't even flowing on, flowing very quickly on the highway. You're going to be waiting for a long time on that entrance ramp. If you're going one car per green light.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, an accident's going to, you know, hose up anything. But
yeah.
Good question. So if it's not busy, it's not during rush hour, is the light just staying green or it's
it'll just be completely turned off or it'll just be blinking yellow.
And you do what you normally do. You speed up as you get on the on-ramp and then you are on the highway.
Yeah. And I think one of the concerns I've had of people that aren't familiar with this is how am I supposed to go from a dead stop to a speed to merge? Well, the reason they're using this is because the speed on the highway is not the posted speed limit.
It's a crawl.
It's not 70. So it, you know, if the speed of traffic is going 35 or if it's going 40, somewhere in that range, you don't have to go from 0 to 60 on the on-ramp.
How do they measure this? Like make the decision when to do it? Are they using
high traffic times?
Yeah.
So I mean, it typically, obviously, if you're in Milford and you're working anywhere in Metro Detroit, you're going to be traveling east on 96, heading towards 696 in the morning. That's where the commutes will be. So those will be the ones that are turned on. If you're going west, I would be shocked in the morning if they're turned on. Those will be turned on in the afternoon.
Way home. Yeah. How do you guys feel about this? John's point is it's in other cities. People text in about Denver, and I know Chicago and Minneapolis. Big cities do this. We're very stuck in our ways as drivers here in the state of Michigan. Are we embracing this? 248-539-9797.
I think it's too new for me to say. I mean, I've never even experienced it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to help the flow of traffic, reduce crashes, sure, let's go for it. I'm also very stubborn, though. I'm like,
don't tell me when to go.
Yeah, you're going to add a traffic light here? No way. You know
what
I mean?
One more stop on my commute? Come on.
Uh-huh. So my instant reaction is like, oh, I hate this, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
There is, the intention is one car per light. And I don't know if there's a sign there. I've seen these lights because we had, you know, baseball tournaments in Milford. So I was going on and off at 96 the last couple of weekends. But I didn't notice if there was a sign that says, you know, one car per green light, because I guarantee you, we know how drivers are in this, and I know how I would be if that green light turns green and the car in front of me goes, I'm going to be right on their bumper, see if I can get there before it turns red again.
I'm also wondering, will this cause any crashes here on the on-ramp? Like, what if you're not, like you said, we're used to picking up our speed to enter at a certain speed, and then all of a sudden you come to a red light and you're slamming on your brakes because you're not used to seeing a red light on an entrance ramp.
Well, I would think, if you're the first one there, and it turns red, maybe, but everyone else is going to have taillights.
I know.
So you'll see them stopping in front of you.
But people are distracted and they don't pay attention.
That's their problem.
But it could be mine if you crash into me.
I also wonder about people currently on the highway as people putter into the highway, right? They're starting from a stop at this light. They're not going to be getting on very fast. If you're in that farthest right lane, do you have to adjust now because of this?
Well, you have to adjust if you're normally driving to those that I would hope you would adjust.
Yeah.
But it's also a high traffic situation. So it's not like you're speeding up. It's you're going at high congestion speeds.
So I wonder if this is kind of like roundabouts, where they're supposed to be good, right?
I'm
pro roundabout.
They
are. Instead of stopping, we keep the flow of traffic. You just look to your left, and if you're good, you just keep going. You're not stuck waiting.
Right.
They help the flow of traffic. We say it, and then you know people don't know what they're doing. So it's supposed to be good, but if nobody does it, it's a disaster. It's kind of like the zipper merge. It's the right thing to do, but if nobody does it, if this is the right thing to do, but people are trying to cheat and do two cars per light, or they're ignoring them entirely, it's going to create more headaches.
Well, I think in the short term, it may, but people will get used to it. They'll adjust.
Have we got used to roundabouts?
Yes.
Have you driven with people? Other Michiganders?
Yeah, some people are just really dumb.
Okay. Well, they're on the road with us.
Yes, they are. And I don't think necessarily roundabouts is their biggest challenge. and it would be interesting to hear from some of those people. Like, I meant to ask my wife about this because she grew up in Southern California, and this is where I've seen this in place before. Those that have grown up with it, like that's all they knew. Like, how do they view this being implemented now in Metro Detroit? Because if it works, it's not going to be the only place that they do it.
No, this will pop up. The thought why we're bringing this up is not for the people exclusively commuting this morning that may have seen it.
It's still that 6 mile stretch.
It's, hey, this could be more normal. How do you feel about it? Let's get to Amy on a cell. Amy, good morning.
Hello. Yes. So those entrance ramps alternating are in Phoenix and are very common in Phoenix. It's to space out the cars entering the highway, and it's an alternating red light, green light. So your entrance ramp, while you're sitting on that ramp, becomes two lanes, and it's, you know, you get a red light on the left while there's a green light on the right, and then it alternates. And so it's going to be new. It's going to take some time for everyone to adjust to it, but I do think it will help the flow of the traffic. For example, this morning, heading east on 96.
Okay. Did you do that on 96 this morning?
I haven't yet. I'm heading that way. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So they're kind of forcing the zipper method in a way, right? Yeah. With the alternating and
yes.
Yeah. We know how much people love the zipper method.
Well, hopefully this will be another introduction and they'll all of a sudden be like, oh, it does work.
I guess what it is I like the idea. I don't know that I have faith in our drivers.
I think that's what it is. I think ultimately we'll all get used to it. It's going to be fine. Yeah. And maybe we'll really grow to love it.
Grow to love it?
Maybe. Maybe we'll see that, yes, it really does improve the flow of traffic really well. This was a great idea.
How did we ever do life without ramp metering?
Right.
It could be. I mean, if you leave the same at the house at the same time every day, this is where you'll notice it. And all of a sudden, okay, if I leave my house at 7:35 and I get to work at 8:05, every single day, no matter what happens, I travel the same route, do all the same things. Then all of a sudden, this is implemented, and I'm now getting there at 8 o'clock, or I'm getting there at just before 8. That'll be when people will look and say, well, you know, what's changed?
Right.
Well, it's the ramp metering.
And if you go, hey, I
it is speeding up the flow of traffic.
Yeah, I guess for 5 minutes in the morning, who doesn't want that?
Yeah.
All right, we got phone calls to get to. The ramp metering has begun in Michigan. Pros, cons, four against, 97-1. New today for your commute in, it's ramp metering. Stoplights on the on-ramps for a stretch on 96. Do you like the idea? Mm-hmm. In theory, this is supposed to allow for
less accidents and greater flow of traffic.
Sure.
Who doesn't want better flow?
And if... Okay, John. And if I trusted all of our drivers to execute this flawlessly, what a great idea it would be. We've got some people who want to weigh in. Let's get to Bill. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. My wife and I are from Detroit, and we're living out here in Minneapolis. And I'm going to tell you, this metered thing sucks. It sucks. It backs up the traffic. You have to wait, and then you still don't have people letting you in when you need to get up there. Mm. But the other thing is, there's usually a side ramp for buses, and a lot of single cars decide to just bypass the light, zip around you, and go up and leaving everybody else in the line. It absolutely blows. You're not going to like it.
Oh, awesome. Thanks.
Something
cool
to look forward to.
This is fun. I'm excited.
Thanks, Bill. Rich, you like the idea?
Yeah, I got to disagree with Bill, and maybe things are just different over in, you know, Minnesota, but I grew up here, but I lived in Phoenix for the last 10 years, and that's where I got introduced to it. And the second I saw it, I was like, wow, they need to get this in Michigan. And it really does, to Jansen's point, it helps the flow of traffic get onto the expressway. And Phoenix is full of traffic. It's like a mini LA, and if people in Phoenix can do it where, you know, everyone is kind of all over the place, and we can, you know, figure it out, I think we'll be fine here. But I'm all about it. And, you know, when I came back last summer from Phoenix and I saw that there was an HOV lane on 75, I was also excited about the HOV lane. So I'm all about the HOV lane. I'm all about the ramp metering. And I think it'll be fine. I think, you know, Michiganders will figure it out, and it'll be a plus.
You have more faith than I do. Yeah. I mean, I watch people fight zipper merging tooth and nail. You ever see the guy try to straddle the line of the truck? And you're not
always in that big truck.
Yeah.
John.
Hey, trust me. I'm for zippering. I am the one that is going on into the median to get around whatever jerk that is in that truck.
So the HOV lane, that's basically like a carpool lane.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. HOV. And if you've been around the country, like HOV2 is, you know, it's a high occupancy vehicle and you got to have two or more people in it to be in that lane whenever you're in these high traffic situations. In DC, they would actually have HOV3 lanes and it would depend on the time. And so you'd have to have at least three people in the car. So there has been a number of different things in the Metro Detroit area over the past probably 12 to 18 months that they have tried to implement to improve the flow of traffic. Obviously, construction is not that, which we're in construction season, but it's the ramp metering, it's the HOV lanes, it's also those highways that have the arrows, and that's the only one that I don't understand.
Does it have an X sometimes?
Yes.
Yeah, over the what is the passing lane.
Yes.
You're not supposed to be in the lane if the X is there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Which, that I don't understand. If a lane is there, let's
why
use
not
it.
Yeah, yeah, I know. At any time of day.
Now, you said in D.C. people would go through hoops to get the occupancy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This happens all the time. I guarantee you it's happening here as well. There would be individuals, not me, I would hear about this.
I would follow the rules, of course.
That is, if it's HOV2, it would be them and a mannequin or a blow-up doll in the passenger seat. Yeah. Oh, you would see it all the time.
Throw a
You'd
hat
see
on
somebody,
it,
yeah,
clothes.
They would be all dressed up. Yeah. It's hard to miss a blow-up doll in the passenger seat, but they would try and get away with it.
So my take on this whole thing is like, I think it works, and they wouldn't be doing this if it was executed properly. It will work and help improve things. However, I just don't think it's a very difficult thing to do to get on the freeway the way it is. Like what's so hard about it?
Have you had any issues getting on the highway?
I've never had it on the highway. It's about the flow of traffic, right?
Right. Yes.
The flow's fine the way it is.
This is going to speed up traffic
really?
On the highway?
It's fine the way it is. You like being stopped in traffic, and they're trying to do something to increase the flow of traffic?
I don't know. I just don't think it's broken, the system. I don't.
So if it's this is why so it can't be better.
It can, right. But it won't be because people won't do it right, and you'll still have the tricks that people do to fight the zipper method. You're not getting past me.
Yeah.
Ticket texters, calm down. The ramp light lasts like 8 seconds. Dummy drivers in Michigan can't figure out a simple roundabout. This is going to be a disaster, Dennis and Allen Park. The zipper method only works on paper. Introducing humans creates chaos. Dave and Warren says it's a dumb idea. Trying to get started with low speeds into high traffic speed is crazy. Well, the thought is the highway doesn't have high traffic speed because it's congested during the busy hours when the lights would be working.
Correct.
Now, people have pointed out that this is actually not new, that we have experimented with this in the past.
Oh, how far back? I don't think I've seen this in the state of Michigan.
Maybe just not where you've traveled. Like, I don't think this will ever impact
me.
No,
because
like,
you
don't
live...
travel that way.
Right, yeah.
So Tiffany in Detroit says, Detroit used to have entrance lights onto the Lodge M10 back in the 80s. They were removed, though.
Oh, that was before I was driving.
Russ in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Listen, I experienced this in Phoenix when I was there. I was in Phoenix 5 years in a row. It sucks. We have the safest cars in the world. We have the most rules on driving in the world. I cannot believe that we kill more people in our cars doing 55 to 70 than they do in Europe doing 120 to 150.
So that's one highway in Europe.
Well, that's most highways in Europe. The only time they slow down in Europe is when they get into the city limits, into the city, into the villages, in the towns. But when they're on the open road, like if you were on 96 heading west, you'd be doing 115, 120, 130, whatever your car will do. I got a 5-liter Coyote motor in this truck, and it tops out at 105 miles an hour. Come on. This is ridiculous. Just more rules being put on us as free citizens. So I don't agree with it. I don't like it. Unless there's a cop sitting across the street or in the middle of the freeway of one, I won't stop for it. I'll run it. I did in Phoenix.
And again, that's why it's not going to work.
Also why we kill more people with our cars.
Right, like,
because
yeah,
we're
so
not
don't follow
rules.
The rules of the
Europe,
road.
They follow the rules very closely.
I'll put Russ for down for no and don't tread on me. All right.
yes, this is not one where I feel like the government is trying to keep the man down.
Ramp metering starts in Michigan on 96 for a stretch today. 248-539-9797. We'll get to the bumpin' shindig that was the Tiger Clubhouse last night. That's after the update. It's 97.1.